Good morning again. Kevin, your story was good. A committed storyteller would probably have reenacted, but that's all right. Still appreciated the story. Our text this morning is found in Matthew 7, 7, and 8. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. For those who are able, let's kneel and pray. Father in heaven, first I want to ask forgiveness and that you would send your spirit and fill all of us this morning. And Father, I ask that you comfort those that are hurting, those that have experienced loss, those that are hurting physically or emotionally. I ask that you comfort them. And if we can play a part, that we'll be open to your urgings and that we might try and bestow comfort on those who need it. Father, I pray that you will mold us this morning. And I pray that you will hold Eurides as he speaks to us today, the words that you've impressed upon him, and that we will find answers that we have questions for, and that we'll find comfort. And Father, may we all be comforted by the fact that you are on the throne. And we thank you for the care and the love that you have towards us. And we thank you for the plans that you have for us. And I pray that we continue to remain sensitive to those plans and that we find our path that you have lit for us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, I felt like that just set the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit right here, right now. Thank you, girls.
Beautiful.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath morning and for the chance you've given us to come to church and study your word. Please be with us as we work through the sermon this morning and just send your Holy Spirit to be in our minds and just help us to understand your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Happy Sabbath again. I'm so happy to be here. I want to join the... Well, I didn't want to do it because I was a little bit busy during praise and prayer. But before break, that last Sabbath that I was here, Kevin and some of you know something that happened to me as I went up to the youth room to practice the song we're supposed to sing on the Christmas program. My back went out. And it wasn't that I was carrying anything heavy or anything. That was just weird how it happened. But I was in pain for the whole rest of Christmas break until like 5-6 days ago that the pain finally disappeared. I still have some pain, so that's a prayer request if you can pray for my back. That it may heal. I also got sick because that morning I didn't sing because the day before I got a sore throat, and so it was really bad. And on Sunday, I started coughing, and every time I cough, I felt those muscles pulling, and it made it terrible. But here we are. Thanks, Jesus, that he take good care of his children, and here we are one more time to share his word. Amen? Amen. The sermon for today, Christ is the victory, prayer is the key. I understand Pastor Don has been preaching about prayer. He preached about prayer last Sabbath for those who are here. It wasn't intentional. I didn't know I wasn't here. I didn't know he was preaching about prayer. And he's intending to preach about prayer, spoiling the beans, next Sabbath. Hopefully, the messages will overlap and it will be in the same tone so you can learn more about prayer. It's our intent that we can be Christians who know how to pray, who know how to connect with God through prayer. Something that happened to me while I was at the orphanage, when I was going to school, I used to walk. And for those who are going on a mission trip, by the way, I'm really excited because you're going to get to see that road that I used to walk from the orphanage to school. I used to walk every day from 6:30 in the morning until like 7. It would be like 25, 30 minutes walking at a normal pace. If I sped up, it'll take me like 15 to 20. But I'll usually just leave the house on time, take my time walking at that time in the morning with my backpack and usually reading sometimes, which is dangerous. Don't do that on the street. Don't follow my advice, my example. But I used to do that. And at some point, I got so tired of it that I don't even know why I keep doing this. And so I went to the principal of the orphanage, Tia Samilin and Tio Mario, and I talked to them, and I said, hey, it's not fair that the rest of the students who take classes in the afternoon and the evening, they are picked up, and they usually, you know, find a ride because they leave at noon or 1 p.m., and they, you know, classes in the afternoon. And every time I'm going to school in the morning, I don't have a ride. And every time I'm coming back from school at noon, I don't have a ride, and I have to walk in the sun and sometimes in the rain, and it's unfair. And they look at me like, do you know you have 50% of your transportation covered by us, right? And I was like, no, I didn't know. And they're like, wait, why didn't you ask? How am I supposed to ask if I don't know? For them, the key was asking. I had to ask. That happened probably like the first year, so I learned that. And so I got my support to pay for transportation, at least. Well, coming back at 6:30 in the morning, no one is willing to ride a motorcycle to school or anything, so I wouldn't find anything in the morning. But at noon, I had my transportation covered after that. I kept going to school, and 3 years into my classes, almost 1 year to finish at this point, I realized that books were expensive. I mean, I realized that since before, but somehow I managed to buy my own books. But I got to a point where I have to buy a whole collection, and it was way too expensive. Like, no way I could pay for that. And so I come to the principal, Tia Samilin and Tia Mario again. Hey, you know what? I need to buy these books, and I don't have money, and I don't get any help. And they look at me. You know that you have 75% of your school expenses covered by us, right? And I'm like, no, I didn't know that. And this is my third year in school. So I've been paying for my books all this time when they could have been paying 75%, but at least this one time that I didn't have money, they helped me. And they say, why didn't you ask? And I was like, I didn't know I was supposed to ask. Again, for them, asking was the key. If we go to our scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, ask and will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And I have a couple of questions that we should look at before we proceed with the sermon. Why is it important to ask? What is the importance of asking? Why should we ask? God knows everything. God knows what we need. Why doesn't he just give us everything we need? Why do we need to ask? Number two, why do we need the Holy Spirit when we're asking? Why do we need the Holy Spirit when we ask? And number three, what can we do to have a more exciting prayer life? How long have you been praying meaningless prayers? How long have you just closed your eyes, thank you, Father, for this meal, in Jesus' name, amen, and period? In the morning, Father, take care of us and protect us, and thank you for everything you've given us, period. And it becomes a routine. And it's not exciting anymore. And we get tired and we stop doing it. Get tired. What can we do to have a more exciting prayer life? If we look at the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm pretty sure you've heard tons of sermons about it, let's look at it from a different perspective now. Petitions in the model prayer. Go Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. We start reading, it says, "This then is how you should pray." Who's talking in here? Jesus is talking, and he's saying, "This is how you should pray." When you start praying, you say it, "Our Father in heaven," and in red we have in here, "Hallowed be your name." What does it mean to hallow in the name of Jesus? What is hallowed? What does that sentence mean? Let me hear you. Holy, respected, honored. Is that a petition? Is that a petition? Yes or no? It's not a petition. We're okay. But we keep going. Your kingdom come is asking God. Your kingdom, your gospel, your news, the good news of the gospel, your kingdom, come to earth. And not only come to earth, but come to my heart, come to my life, to my family, to my church, to my community. That every time I'm with my friends, that every time I'm hanging out with someone, and every time I'm having a conversation with someone else, they can see the kingdom of God reflected in me. It's not just saying your kingdom come. It's asking for the presence of God, and it's asking for that message of salvation to come and for us to be the representative of that kingdom that we're asking to come. The second coming of Jesus, your kingdom come. Many ways to interpret, but it's a petition. It's asking for the kingdom of God. Your will be done. Is it a petition? It's allowing, but I'm asking to God to help me do his will. So it's asking. It's a petition. When I ask, "Let me do your will. Let me surrender myself to you so I can do what you want in my life." When you say, "Your will be done," you're also asking. Asking for God to take control of your life. Asking for God to take control of situations that you don't think you can handle. Asking God to be there. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Next, give us today, and this is very explicit, like we can see it, give us today our daily bread. How many of you have gone one day without eating because you don't have food in your house? There's some people. I have. And it's hard. But when we ask God, "Give us today our daily bread," we probably don't even realize that he has been giving us food every single day of our life that we've been alive. And we don't need to ask, like, "God, gives us that because his grace, his love is sufficient, is big enough to give us everything we need. But Jesus says, when you are praying, don't forget to ask about food daily. Why do we need to ask if he's already given us food every day? And if he knows that we need food to survive, to sustain ourselves, why do we need to ask? It's in here. Give us today our daily bread. Next one. Forgive our debts. We owe God so many things. He's the owner of everything. We come to church and we're biblically encouraged to pay tithe and give offering. And biblically, everything belongs to God. Everything we have, he has given it to us. And there's nothing we can do to repay him. We were lost. Jesus came and died for us. And when Jesus came and died for us, he paid the greatest debt that could have ever existed. The debt of our sins. And he paid it. Forgive us our debts. We are in deep debt with Jesus for what he did for us. Can we pay him? No. Is him expecting a pay from us, things that we can do to pay him? No. He did it because he loves us. And there's this illustration of, I don't remember if I already talked about it here before, but there's this mother who received the news that her son was taken to jail. And so she talks to the husband and so he's in jail. We need to do something and see if we can just get him out of there. And so they go to visit him and they realize that he's in jail for a debt that he cannot pay himself. The parents cannot pay themselves. Probably the richest man in the world cannot pay. And so there's no hope for him. And when the parents go to visit him, he looks at them, and he looks at mom first. Mom, can you pay that for me? Can you take me out of here? And she, very sad, looked into his eyes. No, I cannot pay this for you. And then dad comes, and then he want to ask, and he asks, Dad, can you pay this debt for me? And dad looked into his eyes. No, I cannot pay this debt for you, sadly. And so he was hopeless. Nothing could be done to save him. The worst, if he didn't pay, he was going to be condemned to die. Executed because he couldn't pay. They gave him a certain amount of time. Parents came back, didn't find anything, couldn't pay. He was sentenced. But all of a sudden, on the last trial where everybody was present, someone came through the door and opened the door and came in. And that guy is looking and he realizes it's Jesus who's coming through the door. And when he sees that it's Jesus, he's like, well, Jesus is the owner of everything. He came surely pay for me. So Jesus comes and he asks, can you pay my debt? Can you pay for me? Guess what Jesus said? No, I cannot pay for you either. But I can take your place. And that is how Jesus took our place and died the debt that we deserved and paid the greatest debt for each and every one of us. Petitions. Ask for forgiveness. Not only for your debts, but for everything. Let us not into temptation. Another petition. How many times do we go through life fighting against sin, fighting against our own character, fighting against others, fighting with everything, basically, with life, struggling. And we fall into temptation. We need to ask the Father to give us the strength, to give us the Holy Spirit, to give us what we need so we don't fall into those temptations, so we can find a way around it. So our spirit is strengthened and we have what we need so we can succeed and we can have the victory. And last one, deliver us from the evil one, another petition. Deliverance, freedom. What are the chains that are stopping you in this morning from being the person you are supposed to be? Jesus can deliver us from whatever it is that we're going through. He can. And so if we go back to the first question, why is it important to ask? Why should we ask? What is the importance of asking? I don't know what Pastor Don preached about last Sabbath. He sent me his sermons, and I decided not to look at it because of what I'm about to say. And I guess I need to be careful, but some preachers, or you might have heard someone saying that when you pray, you shouldn't ask because you're needy. Or because of whatever reason it is that they present that you shouldn't ask. But let me tell you why they're wrong. Because this is Jesus telling us, when you pray, ask. And if we go back to our scripture, it says, whoever asks will receive. And on several other Bible verses, we are told, if you ask in Jesus' name, John, it will be given to you. And everything that you ask and is given to you should be to glorify God the Father. So if anybody has told you, if Pastor Don told you, I don't know, I didn't look at his sermon, that you shouldn't ask, tell him I said he's wrong. We are supposed to ask when we pray. If we see, why do we need the Holy Spirit then? Some expressions of the Holy Spirit, if you open your Bible, I didn't put these verses in here, so you can use your Bible. Let's go to John chapter 16, the first one, sorry. Verses 5 and through 7. John 16, verses 5 through 7 says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper would not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So what this verse is telling us is that when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came to take his place, to bring his presence, and to teach us. To teach us. It is to your advantage that I go away, he says. For I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Helper, the one who helps you to know how to ask, to know how to pray, to know how to connect with God, the Holy Spirit to help us to repent from our sins, the one who tells us, hey, you need to stop doing that and you need to come back to God. If Jesus didn't go away, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come. That's what Jesus said. And so because the Holy Spirit came, our prayers have a different meaning now. We can connect directly with the Father because that's the intercessor God sent to help us with our prayers. John 14, two chapters before, verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The promise of the help of the Holy Spirit. His presence will be with us. And Jesus didn't only say, hey, I'm going, he's coming. No, I'm praying to the Father that the Holy Spirit, the helper, the one that is supposed to come, abides in you. That the presence of God through the Holy Spirit is in you. So your prayers are powerful. It's basically what the verses say. Same chapter, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And I want to ask, how many of you have been in that situation where you are having a conversation with someone who's probably not a Christian or is trying to find answers, and you're just having this conversation and you're asking God to like help you to find the right answer to that person. And all of a sudden, that little light in your brain, you know, lights off, and you remember that Bible verse that is perfect for that conversation you're having. It happens to me tons of times. And I feel so happy because when I look at this verse, I'm like, Jesus fulfills his promise. He prayed to God that the Holy Spirit come so I can remember everything he says in his word. And whenever I need it, when I ask God to help me, to remind me what I need to know in the moment when I'm speaking, it happens. Isn't that incredible? But that happens with the help of who? The Holy Spirit. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Next chapter, chapter 15, verse 26. What does it say? It says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes out from the Father, he will testify about me. What does the Spirit testifies about the Son of God first? But he is the Spirit of truth. What we know, or what the world out there knows that is the truth, is probably not really the truth, because it probably doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of truth is the one who reminds us about Jesus and what he said, and what we need to follow, and teaches how to pray and how to repent, and also tells us what's the truth. What is it that we should believe? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes from the Father and gives us strength. It teaches how to pray. It helps us to repent from our sins. It is highly important that we receive the Holy Spirit in order to pray. So we've seen two things already in this morning. Number one, it's important to ask, highly important to ask. Jesus said, ask. Doesn't matter how much, you have to ask. Number two, we need the Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray and how to ask. Let's see something else. Oh, this is a quote I brought from Pastor Dwight Nelson, who was one of my lecturer teachers last semester in school. He says, The Holy Spirit message to us is, never look at me. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, never look at me. Listen to me. Come to me. Or get to know me. But always look at him and see his glory. Listen to him and hear his word. Go to him and have life and get to know him and taste his gift of joy and peace. And then for those people, because we have now this group who are anti-Trinitarian, I believe they're called, because they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, they don't believe in the Trinity, only God the Father and God the Son. Holy Spirit is not a thing. It is, and it's biblical. And Jesus promised that he needed to come and that he needed to take his place. And now what we have is the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit all over the world. And the Holy Spirit is leading us to look at Jesus. Don't look at him. It's all about Jesus. Do we need the Holy Spirit? Yes. To guide us to Jesus. To give us strength to do what we need to do. Something else. This is Ellen White, and I apologize. I forgot to put the quote. I believe it's testimony somewhere. The Star of Ages somewhere. The Holy Spirit is Christ's representative, but divested of the personality of humanity and independent thereof. Combined with humanity, Christ could not be in every place personally. Therefore, it was for their interest that he should go to the Father and send the Spirit to be his successor on earth. No one could then have any advantage because of his location or his personal contact with Christ. By the Spirit, the Savior will be accessible to all. In this sense, he will be nearer to them than if he had not ascended on high. Does that make sense? Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came, took place, and Jesus, his presence, is able to be all over the world. No one has the advantage because, oh, Jesus, his body is here with me right now. It's only his presence is with you over there. No, he is everywhere, giving the same amount of power to everyone who asks and is willing to receive it. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, the representative. So how do we have meaningful time with God? What can we do to have a better time when we're spending time with God? That we not just open the Bible because we have to do it, because we wake up, we have our alarm to wake us up and just do whatever we need to do to then get on our daily routine. But what can we do to spend special time with us? I'm going to do something different today. Before I go into that, I'm going to ask for connect cards, if the deacons can pass it out. If you can write these are just some ideas. These are no rules. It's just ideas that you can do to have a better prayer life. And let's do the connect cards, because if you're writing those ideas down, you can also fill the card at the same time. And then we'll be done after those ideas on how to have a more interesting prayer life. Okay. As you look into your card, you're going to see that the first one you can check is, number one, I want to have victory in Christ. And receive whatever he gives me with the Holy Spirit and with prayer. It's the victory you have in Christ. Being able to pray and being able to claim his promises and to receive what he has said that we can get through prayer. You can check that one. Number two, I will not be afraid to ask in the name of Jesus. We can ask in the name of Jesus. Jesus taught us how we should pray and ask him, basically. There's nothing wrong in asking. And by the way, if we go to Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to my house and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside of the house answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I'll tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, because you're friends, because you come at midnight, he will surely get up and give it to you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And this is Luke. What we saw as scripture was Matthew, which was linked to the model prayer, which is Jesus saying that you should ask when you pray, and then saying, ask and will be given to you. And in here, Luke mentions another example of what he said. If you go and ask, probably because it's midnight, because your friends and you're bothering, won't give it to you, but because you're asking and you just bother and coming to ask, it will be given to you. I wish I had known I could have asked for money for books before almost finishing school, but oh well. Ask and it will be given to you. Why is it important to ask? Again, going back to the questions, why is it important to ask? We were taught that when something is repeated in a verse or in a chapter, it's because it's important. And the amount of times, 20 plus times, don't remember the exact amount, that the word ask is used in both of those passages, in Matthew and Luke, is a lot. And that means something. It means that asking is important. Next one, connect card. I want the Holy Spirit to inspire my prayers. Do you want the Holy Spirit to inspire your prayers? Amen. How will the Holy Spirit inspire our prayers? Help us to repent. He's a helper. He tells us what to say in prayer, probably. He's his presence. He brings Jesus' presence to our life. He reminds us what Jesus said, so we can have more meaningful prayers. So let's go back to the tips of how can we have a better prayer life. Number one, start with proper attitude. And this is really important because
I am so happy right now. I am so happy.
Is that true? Is my attitude saying that I'm happy? No, it doesn't. So when you come to God, you have to come with the proper attitude, worship, to connect with God, to ask for what you need, being willing to receive. Come with the attitude of worship, not just, oh, I'm coming to do this, to be done, and just keep moving with my life. That's not how we do it. You want your prayer life to turn around, take a U-turn right now, and to be more meaningful? Start right with the proper attitude. Something else, expectancy. Look at Psalms chapter 119, 118. Expectancy. See that. How many verses? You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their delusions come to nothing. And 119, all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your statutes. What is the expectancy you have when you come to talk to God, when you come to pray? Do you come with fear? Oh, Father, I'm going to ask you something, but I'm afraid to ask. And what is it that you're expecting from God when you come to pray? You need to come with the right expectancy. God rejects everyone, the verses, who stray from his law, his way. But as a Christian, you have to make sure that you are praying to the Father and that you are following the instructions Jesus gave you. And so when you come to pray and you ask in the name of Jesus, it will be given to you. What are your expectancies? Something else, be full of confidence and faith. Don't just go on praying. No? I don't know if I should be even praying, or I don't know if you're going to forgive me, or I'm not sure. And come with confidence. God is almighty, all-powerful. He can do everything and anything, anywhere, at any time, if it's supposed to happen. And so I just heard someone saying, oh, because for those prayers that don't have answer, and we know that all prayers have answers. Sometimes God answers and says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says just have to wait a little bit. But he answers. If it's good for us, here it is, what you ask. If it's not good for us at all, no, I cannot give you that. And we may get what we're asking for, and we think that God gave it to us. We probably will find our way around it. Or sometimes God sees that it's something that we need or something that will be good for us, but it's not the right moment, and he said, just wait, and I'll give it to you later. But come to God with confidence and faith that your prayer is going to be answered. Be real. Don't try to impress God. God knows everything about you. You can, because this is weird. Like, if you come to your friend with a fake face, faking something, and you're lying, you may deceive your friend, but you cannot deceive God. I cannot deceive God. God knows my heart. He sees everything. He knows everything. When I come to pray, I need to be real. And I need to open up to God. And I need to talk to him as if he knows me, because he knows me. And we need to know him too. We don't need to try to impress him. Hey, I'm trying, you know, see, yeah, I was trying, and I've been trying to do whatever it is that I'm doing because I'm trying to be better. There's nothing we can do to impress him, by the way. Only his grace, when his grace covers our sins, is when that happens, is when we're able to stand in front of him. When Jesus' forgiveness and grace covers us. So be real. Another one. Be revealing. Talk to him as you talk to your best friend. How do you talk to your guys? You have friends, adults. When you have a good friend that you get together and you talk, you can talk to that friend for hours and hours and hours and hours. And one of my best friends, back from the orphanage, we wouldn't sleep in the same room if we knew we needed to do something the next day, because we knew what was going to happen. I will take my turn, and I will speak. I will talk for like half an hour, 45 minutes, while he patiently will listen to me. And while I was explaining all my problems and frustrations and whatever it is that we were talking about. And he will get sleepy. And bro, can you please stop? Because I need to sleep. And okay, I'll stop. But then he remembers something that he needed to tell me. And he'll start talking. And then he will talk for half an hour, 45 minutes, while I patiently, listen to him. And all of a sudden, I look at the clock, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., we're still talking. Okay, we need to go to sleep. So we knew that we couldn't sleep in the same room if we were doing something, like going to a concert or having a test. We knew what to do. But when it comes to talk to Jesus, when it comes to talk to the Father, how do we talk to him? Do we really talk to God as we talk to a friend? Oh, let me tell you. Don't pray in your bed either. Because 1 minute into it, especially at night, and you'll be gone. I know some people say, I wish that was true because I have insomnia and I cannot sleep. But whatever. So when you have insomnia and you can't sleep, you know what? Talk to Jesus. Talk to your friend who's there waiting for you and willing to listen to you patiently. And we have this habit that we just come and do the, say the same thing in each prayer, and we just get tired, and our prayers are just short and short and short, and they get shortened and shortened and shortened, and all of a sudden we pray for 1 minute and we think we're good. I'm pretty sure you don't go to your best friend and one time per week, probably. Hey, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Okay, thank you. Nice to see you. Bye. That doesn't happen. Pretty sure it doesn't. So when you come to talk to God, come and talk to him as a friend. Ellen White says that praying is, you know, opening your heart to God and talking to him as a friend, right? Tell God about your problems, about your frustrations. Tell him also about your happiness, what made you happy during the day. Be thankful and ask for forgiveness, for deliverance, for your friends, for your family, for your country, for all the natural disasters around the world. There's so many things that you can pray for your church. So many things that you can talk to your friend Jesus about. Something else, alertness, be alert. Maybe sometimes when you're praying, you're just falling asleep and you're praying and you're asking for something that is probably important because you need probably the money to pay the next rent or whatever it is, the next the bill that you're supposed to pay. And God is possibly telling you the way you can get that. But there's nothing that you do to realize that God is telling you what you have to do because you're not alert. So you have to have the alertness of hearing the voice of God. What is it that you want me to do? I'm alert. I'm listening. Talk to me now. I'm waiting for you to talk to me. Then when you're alert and you're waiting for God to talk to you, you have to be willing to obey. Because very often, what God wants us to do is not necessarily what we want to do. And so that's when we come trying to impress God and now being real. And God, can you please give me knowing in deep in our heart that that's not really what we're asking for. Or that probably the result of us, of getting that we're asking for will be bad for us. And so we're not being real with Jesus. So we have to be willing to obey his word. Willing to listen to him, alert to hear his voice, and willing to obey. I think we have three more. This one, be faithful. So Romans 12:2 is an important verse. Someone can read it? Someone read it? Romans 12, verse 2, if that's the right verse. Good pleasing and perfect will. Be willing to pray to God in a way that you know that you're being faithful to him, that you're not conforming to whatever is going on in the world today, but that you are listening to him, that you're willing to obey, and that you are being faithful to his commands, not conforming to the routine that we have developed in our life of just coming and going and doing just because we have to, but not because we have a real deep relationship with Jesus, and our prayers will be better. Select a specific time. I don't know if you do this, but if you select a specific time and you don't, like for those who don't have a specific time, because in my case, it's every day in the morning, the alarm, we have the alarm, we have family worship, we have my personal devotion. It's best when you do it in the morning. But I get it. So like some parents, for example, have to go to work and moms have to take care of the kiddos and, you know, it's impossible for them to take time in the morning. But they take a nap, like at 11 or 12, whatever time it is they take a nap. If that's your best time to connect with Jesus, well, but that's the best time. But set your time. Say, hey, okay, I need to spend time with God. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to set a time. It's not something that happens. It has to happen throughout the day while you're doing whatever you're doing. But you need to set apart a time to talk to God intentionally. Be intentional about it. Find your sanctuary. Find your place to pray. Could be an empty room, could be an empty closet. If you have seen, what's that movie? War Room. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long since I saw that movie. It was really good. Find your place. Set a place apart where you come to meet with Jesus. It's one of my professors was illustrating one of his points on prayer. And he mentions about this movie or video. I forgot the title again. But he says that this lady was sharing the testimony of this chair that was so special for her. And she would sell everything in her house except for that chair. That chair used to be her husband who passed away. And as she shared her testimony, she said it was just hard for him to just have a normal life. But someone talked to him and told him to find a place to talk to Jesus. And he got this chair and he put it on the porch. And every day in the morning, he would wake up and grab a cup of coffee and sit on the chair. Don't follow the example of the coffee, but he would do it. Open his Bible, and he would spend countless hours with Jesus. That was a husband who struggled with a lot. Days after he got into the habit of praying in the chair with his cup of coffee and the Bible, he was transformed. He became a pastor. He encouraged his church to find a special place to pray. And great things happened after he did that. The most important thing was that they were struggling in their marriage. He started doing that. And obviously the wife got mad at him for taking the chair out, putting it on the porch to have his prayer. But then she realized that he really changed. He left the alcohol, all his bad habits that he had before, and he changed through prayer on that special place. And I was like, that's really nice. I don't have a chair in my house that I can use as my prayer chair. But I have a favorite spot on the table. And that's right. No one sits in there. So in the morning when I'm doing my personal devotion, I place my chair there, have a blanket when it's cold, and have a cup of tea and my Bible. And so I spend time praying and reading the Bible with Jesus. That is my special spot. And so I remember I shared, don't remember which sermon, but Hannah, when she's having breakfast, that's when she has her personal devotion. And I call her breakfast with Jesus. Because she's eating her cereal while eating her Bible. And I was like, you know, that's nice. I love having breakfast with family. This is really cool. You have breakfast with Jesus. Because you're having breakfast and, you know, praying and reading the Bible. It's really nice. Grab a snack. Go to your separate place. Grab your Bible. And pray. but find your sanctuary, your place where you meet with God. Do you want to have a more meaningful prayer life? I do. We need it. We need it. It breaks my heart to look at the news lately. It's just devastating. And just as this morning, Puerto Rico had another devastating earthquake. Another one. It's destruction everywhere. Is God telling us, my second coming is here? And the question is in this morning, are we praying enough? Are we praying as we are supposed to pray? It's my desire that the Holy Spirit touches your heart in this morning to help you pray meaningful prayers, to find your sanctuary, to set your time, to be real with God, to have a more meaningful prayer life. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for prayer. We thank you for giving us the opportunity of connecting with you through prayer. And we're so sorry, Lord, that sometimes we just get tired of it and we forget how to do it. But then in your word, we find how to do it. And we know that we can find relief. We can find hope. We know that we can access your power through it, Lord. Thank you for prayer in our life. Thank you for giving us that tool that gives us everything we need to have the victory in Christ, to have Christ, which is the victory. Thank you for giving us the key to accessing to everything we need, Lord. I just pray for everything that's going on, for my church, my youth, each family. May you empower each and every one of them and just be with us, oh Lord, this time of desperation when the world is crying and we know that your second coming is near. We want to be prepared for you to take us home. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray.